Now Rav Moshe Zal says, while we're on the topic of Pirkei Avos, he's going to take one of the first Mishnahs and show us how it ties into everything we've been learning. V'zehu, this is why it says in one of the first Mishnahs in Pirkei Avos, it mentions three rules in this one Mishnah. Number one, have a misunim badin. Be slow in judgment. Don't jump to conclusions quick. Don't look to kill somebody, to declare someone guilty quickly. V'he'emidu talmidim harbe, and establish many students. V'asu siog la'toira, and make a fence around the Torah. These are the three statements. Ki kol ha'shloisha dvorim ho'ele kulam echad. All three of these concepts are actually one. Shehizhir al ha'sholim. The Mishnah here is focusing on the topic of sholim. Kidei sheyuchlu laham et talmidim harbe. In order that a person should be zeichet to be able to have a lot of talmidim. Kidei shetiskayim ha'toyra al yodam ha'netzach. So that through these many talmidim, the Torah will be able to stay with Klal Yisrael permanently. V'zehu, this is why the Mishnah says, havi mesunim badim. Hainu b'chinas havidones kol adam lekaf zchus. What this is emphasizing is that very often, when you look at a person, or you look at something a person's doing, very often the first conclusion that you're going to draw is, hey, that's wrong. What he's doing is wrong. You're not allowed to do that. But very often, if instead of blurting that out and reprimanding the person, if you'll wait and watch a little bit longer, sometimes you'll observe under what circumstances the person is doing it, or some additional factors related to it, which clearly justify 100% the person doing that. Or certainly justify you're not reprimanding them in the nasty, totally destructive way you would have done if you didn't wait. You know, if you would have done it right away. Bechinas, as the Mishnah says, al todines chavercha shehagia lemekoimoi. You have no right to judge another Jew until you arrive in that person's place. Until you can put yourself in that person's place. And most people can't do that in an eighth of a second. So that when you see somebody doing something and you feel obligated to say something, to tell that person that what they're doing is wrong, or it's a shiloh, or it's a this, that, very often you've got to stop to think. That's the way it looks to you through your eyes. But the Torah says that in order to tell somebody else what to do, you have to first be able to put yourself in that person's place. And there are very few people that could ever do that. And the ones that can do it, usually it takes more than a second or two. It takes a couple of minutes to analyze, really carefully analyze the situation and the person, and then figure out, should I say something to that person or not? Just because I get up early in the morning to daven, I daven v'sikin, or I do another mitzvah, if I see another person not doing it, I can't assume that just because I was taught a list of 15 items, 15 different areas of Gan Eden that a person's going to get for davening early in the morning, I can't assume that it's for another person or for it's another person right now, depending on what the trade-offs are for that person. First, I have to find out if I know that the person's stami, if I know the person very well and I know all the factors related to that person, and I know the person told me it's just laziness on my part. I have no other excuse other than I can't schlep myself out of bed. My wife wants me to go, and the speed at the minyan is exactly the way I want it to. It's just, then could be, if you know how to do it the right way, you can try to motivate that person to tell him. But if not, for a Jew to attempt to give advice, or chas v'chalivacha, to pass judgment on another Jew, saying that probably his davening with the second minyan is nowhere as good as my davening with the first minyan, sometimes a person could be shocked, mom is shocked, to find out what the circumstance is by the other person. That the other person has a reason, he's first learning how to daven, or whatever it is, and he's investing 3 hours in a shacharis, which there's maybe two people on this planet that are putting so much into the davening, and his davening with the third minyan could be higher than 80% of the people who are davening with the first minyan. This is something that very often you won't know unless you get to talk, unless you hear the other person out well, you feel the other person, you can put yourself in their place. Hainu, Rav Moshe Zal explains, Kisha'ata roya b'chaverecho, oy talmidcho, dovor shenoy hogun, when you see a friend, a colleague, or a student of yours doing something which appears to be wrong, tihiye mosoin badin, be slow in drawing a conclusion, in making a judgment, livli lodunoi lechoiva, not to judge him that what he's doing is wrong, or what he's doing is not so good, lerachakoi, which could chas v'shalom result in pushing that person away, and sometimes will lead to your disliking that person. If you feel that this person isn't doing what's right, often that could lead to disliking the person. But rather be very slow in judgment, to exert every effort to judge the person favorably, and to find the good points in that person, so that you shouldn't turn that person off, you shouldn't push him away completely and get him. There are stories about a person who got up to come to Minyan, and he came late, he came a half hour late, and the rabbi didn't judge the situation correctly. Instead of taking this person and putting him up in front of the whole shul and saying, look at this tzaddik. I know that it took more for him to come to shul than all of us here put together. Because I know that for him this is his first time. And let's all say hallel to honor his coming to the shul. Instead, somebody made a nasty comment and said, if you come into shul already, you might as well come on time. And the guy never showed up again, chas shalom. Because the guy looked and said, imagine, not one of these people thought of what it took for me to come. How embarrassed I was to walk in. You know what it felt like knowing that all of these guys have been davening there for 8 years in a row. They're all buddies. Here I'm walking in as a stranger. It's embarrassing, and it takes incredible courage to break into that kind of thing. And here I finally got up the courage, and instead of putting out a welcome mat, somebody spit on me, chas v'shalom. And Rav Nosson Zal is aware of this and sensitive, and he's trying to teach us. This is the grand master in Teichocha in Yiddishkeit. You're hearing it here from the best of the best how to do this. And then chas v'shalom, the person will become worse. And who knows what could happen to such a person? Some people got pushed and they started rolling downhill, and nobody knows how far down is down. And therefore we have to be very slow in judgment. To understand the lachakor heitev, and to investigate very well, to analyze very well, how to conduct myself with the person, so that I won't push him further away, but rather I'll motivate him to improve himself, not the opposite. This is why the Mishnah says, v'hemidu talmidim harbe. You have to have a lot of students. Kiho b'ho talya. Because these two are directly related. Ki kisheyeh mosoin badin. Because if you're going to be able to work on yourself and get yourself to be slow in judging people and not misjudge and not jump down people's throats, v'yodon es hakoy l'kaf schus, and you'll be able to judge everybody favorably, yeh l'sholoim im hakoyl. You'll be at peace with everybody. Everybody will be comfortable with you. They'll enjoy your company. They'll feel comfortable talking to you about Yiddishkeit. They won't feel threatened by you. They won't be afraid that every word you're going to say to them is going to be a bite or a bark. Either one, they're not going to be afraid. V'oz b'vada yuchal lahamid talmidim harbe. And such a person will be able to have a lot of talmidim. He'll be able to get along not just with a couple of people, he'll be able to get along with everybody or many people. As the Gemara shows, when it came to big, big rabbis, big tzaddikim, that there was a Rav Gamliel who was a super tzaddik, and Rav Yeshua was a tzaddik. Sheni toisvu kamo safsole besamevrish, aridei shamru kol horoitz alichmas yovav yichmas kanal. That as soon as they took away the guard from the entrance to the Beis Medrash, and as soon as they said, we're not going to analyze each guy coming in to see, does he deserve a place in the yeshiva or does he not deserve it? Is he really from? Does he eat only at the Haredah Seksha or not? If not, he can't come into our building. He can't come into our yeshiva. The minute they took that away, Hundreds of benches were added to yeshiva. Hundreds of talmidim came in. And the Gemara doesn't say, and then they all went to Gehenim, because the minute you let all of this vermin and all of this riffraff, everybody got shipped off to Gehenim. It doesn't say that. It says it was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. And it says that the one that was behind the whole thing was the biggest kanoi of all, Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai Zal. The most firm Meir Sha'arim resident that could possibly be, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, was the one who instigated this whole nuclear explosion to get Rabbi Gamliel removed, to get the guard away from the entrance to the yeshiva, to open the gates wide, to let in whoever could possibly be let in. The Zehu Va'asu Siog. Rav Nosson Zal says this Asu Siog LaTorah is the concept of a mechitz, an offense, to protect the thing, that it should remain permanently, it shouldn't be destroyed. Hainu, this means, Kyalidei Sheyir Mosin Badin Kanal, Ve'amidu Tamidim Harbe, Aideze Yasu Siog Ushmiro LaHatoro, Shaloi Tishtakach Mi'Israel. That by doing this, if a rabbi will be slow in judgment, and he'll have a lot of Talmidim, that'll be the best protective fence for the Torah. That'll guarantee that the Torah won't roll away from Klal Yisrael, and won't be forgotten or lost. Ki ikar kiyum ha-toyro midor ledor hualidei shemamidim talmidim harbe. The main way that we're able to guarantee that the Torah will remain vibrant and alive in Klal Yisrael and will be passed on from generation to generation is only by producing many students. V'chein elu ha-talmidim mamidim oy talmidim harbe. And those students have the obligation to go ahead and produce more students. V'chein midor ledor, and to keep this chain going from generation to generation. This is the thing that ensures that the Torah will always be with us. As the pasuk says, Hine onoichi v'hayelodim asher nosam liHashem le'osay sudamoyfsim b'Yisrael. I and the children that Hashem has blessed me with will be as a sign and a miracle for Klal Yisrael. Upirish Rashi, and Rashi says over there, v'hayelodim heim ha'talmidim, that the word children over there refers to students. Shehem lo'ois ulamoifes. They're the ones who stand out as symbols, living symbols. Sha'al yodom lo'itishtaka ha'Torah mi'Yisrael, where their presence, their existence, will ensure that the Torah will never be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Lo'i kemoi sharotza ochoz lahashkiach ha'Torah mi'Klal Yisrael ha'Shom. Not like King Ochoz, who lived at that time, was trying to get the Torah to be forgotten. Ki Ochoz Bote Knesios Bote Midrashos, Shezehu Bechinas Kitos HaMechakrim VaBikursim. He took hold of the shuls and the Beis HaMedrashes. Shezehu Bechinas Kitos HaMechakrim VaBikursim, Sheroitzim Lechois VeLizgor Bote Knesios Bote Midrashos Diktusha Shel Yisrael. This refers to those reform and conservative, the initiators of those types of movements, who were looking to close down the yeshivas and the shuls. Vo'isim Lahem Bote Tiflus. And instead they make for themselves temples where there's no Yiddishkeit being practiced, where they can be Mechal Shabbos, where they can eat pork, Rachmanu Litzlan. The Koren Lohem, Knesios. They call them temples for evil, gathering places for evil. Umalamdim Bohem, Divrei Hevel Shalahem. And they teach their foolishness there. The Chochmas Chitzonius. They teach alien wisdoms, Hamatridim Voikramois Mishnei Olamois, which cause the people to be torn out from Olam Haba and from Olam Hazeh. It causes the people to be torn away from their roots, from their basic faith in Hashem and in Tzadikim. Ki yoiv du heim ve'elef ki yoitze bohem. Because Rav Nosson Zal says, may they be destroyed and 1,000 like them, ve'dovor echot midivrei torasenu akdosha al yizbatel. And one word of our Torah should not become null and void. Ki ha-talmidim shenisharu mehat tzadiki emes. Because those talmidim who remain from the true tzaddikim, from the Moishes and the Yeshuas and the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zals and the Baal Shem Tovs and the Arizals, those talmidim will remain from them. Shehim bechinas hayelodim anal, which are these children we spoke about earlier, yekaimu es haTorah, will fulfill the Torah and establish it firmly. Shelo tishtakach, that it'll never be forgotten. Ad sheyovoy hagoyel tzedek, until Moshiach will come. And then all will be zeichet to see the truth. So here, Rav Nosson Zal is emphasizing that this is what will ensure Kiyum HaTorah. And again, you have to be careful not to misinterpret this. This isn't the black, because if we wouldn't have read this last couple of lines, the person would have said, this shows clearly that there's nobody that we turn away. There's no such thing as ever turning away a Jew, or there's no such thing as rejecting any derech in Yiddishkeit. There's nothing wrong with there being Orthodox, plus conservative, plus reform, plus Zuluism, Reconstruction, all the silly words they're adding on. Rav Nosson Zal is making a very clear point of saying that's not what we're saying here. We're not saying that those people who try to tear the Torah out from its roots, those people who are trying to misinterpret the Torah and say that Shabbos has no application for today, with certain laws of the Torah, you know, aren't perfect, we have to change the Torah, they should be destroyed, then we curse. But again, that refers to a very small group, which are the leadership of these types of movements, reform and this, where many of those individuals were people who learned Torah, they were raised originally in religious environments, and because of their own personal weaknesses, or because of lust for money or other things, they started teaching a religion, a perverted religion, to their flocks and leading their people who were uneducated away from Torah, away from Moshe Rabbeinu, away from those things. We have nasty words to say, but all the 99% of Jews who are not in that category, but are rather the concept of Tinok Shenishba, people who didn't grow up with religion, or people who didn't this and are doing things wrong, or people who grew up religious, and there's all kinds of flaws in their religiousness, and a person sees those flaws, Rav Nosson Zal is teaching us here exactly how to deal with it. Exactly what the right way, if you want to be a Moshe Rabbeinu, you want to be a Reb Shimon Yochai, you want to do what's going to make Hashem happy, this is the way to do it. The question was just asked, what about today, 1995, where let's say in today's schools that are being run by the conservative, reform, etc., etc. movements, which are pumping out new rabbis and rebbetzins, female rabbis and animal rabbis and plant rabbis, all kinds of different things, and all of this kind of stuff. The question is, the teachers of today in those movements, can we say that they are the reform, the ones that Rav Nosson Zal is talking about here, that Ya'abdu, or do we define them already as Tinoik Shenishba? My feeling is, and again, I'm afraid to say this because I don't have the authority to say it in authority. My feeling is that today it's like you said before, where it's really third and fourth generation reform. The third generation or so already, to a degree, can't be blamed. Even the leadership, because the leadership is Tinoch Shenishba. It's mostly the first set, the earlier generations of leadership in those movements, where they were people who knew genuine Yiddishkeit. They were taught genuine Yiddishkeit and knew it. And many of them, due to their own personal weaknesses in all kinds of areas, walked away from it, rebelled against it, and worked hard at tearing away a large percentage of Klal Yisrael from their roots, from Torah, Moshe, etc. They are the ones who we call Mamish Super Apikursim, etc. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, V'alkein hishtadel Rabbi Chiya Rabbo Ma'oid Lahamid Talmidim Harbe. This is why we find an individual in Shas called Rabbi Chiya Rabbo, where the Gemara makes a point of saying that he tried very hard to have a lot of Talmidim. V'hispoyer Ma'oid Bozer. And he prided himself with this tremendously, V'omar, and he said, Ano avitna l'torah shalei tishtaka mi'Yisrael. I worked very hard to ensure that the Torah would not be forgotten by the Yidden. How? The Shodino Kisno Vavidno Rishvo. I planted seeds. I took flax. I took seeds to plant linen, and I planted linen, and I made it into traps to catch animals with, and I caught the trapped animals from which I can take their hides and use it to make Sifrei Torah and so on and so forth. Rav Nosson Zal explains, Ki Iker Kiyum HaToyro Hualidei Shemamidim Talmidim Harbe. He's emphasizing again, the main thing that ensures the permanence of the Torah is that you have to have many Talmidim. You have to try not to limit yourself to one or two students and that's it, but to try to reach as many as you can. V'alkein also Tachbulo Yiskele. This is why Rabbi Chiya did all of these kinds of things. Shelokach zera pishton, he took seeds with which you plant flax, linen. Uzroam planted them, Bosamehem et sudois, and from the linen he wove traps to trap animals with. Kidei lotzud tzvoim, in order to hunt deer. Velichtov aloiroise and sifrei Torah, and to use their hides to write sifrei Torah. Kamei shekosu shom b'gemara, as the Gemara writes. Now Rav Moshe Zalei asks, Velichoira hadovar tamua, I don't understand this. Hoyolei likach oirois muchonim. Why does the Gemara, why did he go through 60 steps to get the hides? Why didn't he simply go into a store or lahatul go to a goy and buy the hides ready-made? Why does he tell us that he planted flax and grew linen and wove it into traps and trapped the animals? Why? Ach kavonosoi hoyo sheroitze lahamshich hasoga selukus boilam. Rabbi Chiya Rabba's objective was to be able to bring knowledge of Hashem into the world. Shelozet srichim tzimtzumim rabim, where any person that wants to do that has to know that he needs many, many tzimtzumim. Me'ilo le'olol, from one level to the next, he's got to be able to go down, down, down. Utzrichim leida kol ma shemesavid Hashem Yisborach b'chol advarim sheboilom hakol b'shvil hatachlis. And a person who wants to do this has to realize that everything that goes on in a person's life, the ruchnius, the gashmius, everything, is all for this purpose, for this ultimate purpose. Kidei sheyovoi v'yagia mize eze dovor lahatzadik, so that from what I'm doing, something will reach the tzadik, shehu yamshich hasogas lekus la'idei zeh, whereby the tzadik will use it to draw knowledge of Hashem into the world. For example, a person planting in Florida, lahavdil, or lahavdil in Gaza, you know, where they plant thousands of trees. If you drive through there, thousands upon thousands of trees of oranges growing there. And you're looking at thousands, you wonder, like, what is all of this for? You know what all of that is for? All of that is for the few little oranges that are going to get to the homes of tzaddikim, and they're going to make a brach on it with the proper kavanah, and they're going to elevate the sparks of kedusha that are in there, and they're going to make all the tikkunim that need to be made. Ki hakoil nivra b'shvil hatzadik, because we know that we're taught that everything in this world was created to serve the tzadik. Kimo Yisham Razal, as the Gemara says, kol hoilam kuloi lo nivra ela letzavos lazeh. Everything on this earth was created to support him, to be a support system for this one, for the tzaddik. This is why Rabbi Chiya Rabba started from doing things which seemed to be as far away from the study of Torah as it could possibly be. Guy going out into the woods and plant taking seeds and planting linen. A person would say, what could be further away from a Ben Torah? What could be further away from Yiddishkeit? Umi shero oisei oisik boze, and people who watched him doing this, loy hoye yochoy lahaloy saldaitoy, she is a sibo oisik lakima Torah. They couldn't imagine in their wildest dreams that this was going to have any effect on ensuring the Torah's existence and its staying with Klal Yisrael. Ach acharkach, it's only afterwards, kishekosav al oiroisein sifrei Torah, when Rabbi Chiya wrote sifrei Torah on those hides of those deer that he trapped with that, vehem et talmidim harbe berovoi sayomin, and then throughout the many years of his life, he established many talmidim, vehirbitz Torah b'Yisrael, he spread the Torah among Klal Yisrael, vohoidia elokusei boilam, and he made Hashem well-known in the world. Note, Rav Moshe Zalman mentions it as two things. He taught a lot of Torah, and he made Hashem known in the world, because we've mentioned in the past, there are people who teach Torah, and they never mention the word Hashem. Hashem is in the Stone Age. There's the Torah, period. And they use that as a replacement for Hashem, Chas Hashem, and they use it for a replacement for serving Hashem. It's purely an intellectual experience kind of thing, not a concept of serving a creator and all of that. Oz ro hakoil shekol hasiboy sarachoykos shosam etchila hakoil hoye b'shvil kiyum haTorah. It was only at the end that people saw and realized that all the different things he was doing all along were all working towards this goal of kiyum haTorah. Seeing to it that the Torah would be established in the world permanently. Ubozet daiko limeid das esom. And by doing it this way, Rabbi Chiya Rabba was teaching Am Yisrael Leda, that they should know, Ulohidia Ulivoda, and to let it be known, Shekol Ma Shenasa Boila Meirosh Atzoif, that everything that's taking place on this earth, from beginning to end, Hakol Rak Bishvil HaTachlas Hazeh, it's all working towards this objective. Whether we see it or not, or realize it or not, it's working towards the objective of bringing Hashem's existence, making the world aware that there's a Hashem in the world. That these things should end up benefiting the tzaddikim who are fulfilling the Torah. Because everything on this earth was created and is being maintained in for the sake of the tzaddikim and the Torah. Because the world was not created so that people should simply be able to eat and drink, or for people to have pleasure trips with women, or for people to have the pursuit of money, the kavod or honor, the kina, jealousy, the sinna, hate chashon. But rather, everything was created for the true goal, which is kidei lahakir oisa yisborach, so that Hashem should be recognized by all. Ki mi sheyesh lo moyach bekodkodoy, because a person who has a brain in a skull, yochol lahavin hevel ha'olam, can understand the silliness of the world. Ki Hashem yisborach bara olam kozeh bechochma neflua kozeh sheyesh bechol dover. Hashem created this world with such unbelievable wisdom, the wisdom that's found in every item and every plant and in every animal and in every organism, v'hakol bo lidei kilolam behefsid. And we see that a lot of it just ends up being destroyed eventually. Ach kulam ein bohem das lohovin manasi mohem. However, all of these people that aren't aware, they don't have the brains to realize, to understand what's going on. Avul ha'odom shenivurim das. Whereas a human being who was created with a higher level intellect, roi loy lehispale ma'oid, alma nivro mitipa srucha bechachman of love and aloha kazois. Why a person has to think and has to wonder, why? Why did Hashem create me, such an unbelievably complex organism that comes from a tipa srucha, from a tiny little droplet, sheyoshuv ahar kach el ofa? He created me so that I should return back to dust, and I should turn into a rotten corpse. My whole life should be filled with anger and pain and suffering, and a lot of illness. Why did Hashem do this? Why did He need to do this? So therefore, the person has to come to the right conclusion, which is that the truth is that all of it was created for that one true goal, which is kedei lizkois lahasogas alakus, so that man should be zeicher to come to recognize and understand Hashem. She'ief shalovi lozeh kiim kishayivrim bozeh ha'ilam, whereby it's impossible for a Jewish neshama to achieve that fully unless it passes through this physical world, shenivra bechachman eflazos, which was created with such unbelievable wisdom, shaydezeh daika boin latachle samiti azeh, that it's through this world, by passing through this world and going through it successfully and properly, that a person will be zeicha to get to this ultimate goal of hasoga selukus. There's a chapter in the Kutuman, Tanino, where Rabbein Azal focuses on this item. Alkein, therefore, tzrichim leida ulahamen, a Jew has to understand and believe, shekol hadvorim v'hasiboy shevoilam, that everything that takes place in this world, hakol mesavik Hashem yizborach b'shvil lovoy ha'idezeh v'asagos alukus. Hashem makes all of it happen so that the Jews, so that Klal Yisrael will be zeicha to get to understand Hashem. That's why there's an earthquake over here, and that's why there's a new invention being invented here, and that's why there's a war over there. Everything and anything that's taking place in this world is serving this purpose. Avul ein mi sheyach nizbonu haseichel v'emes hazeh kiim hatzadik hador v'amiti. However, The only one who's qualified to teach this really well, to explain this, to show this and prove it to us in a way that we'll really see it well, is the true Tzadik HaDoer, Shezocho Lazer, who was able to achieve this understanding Al Yedei Yigiyosoi Va'avoidosoi Ho'atuma, through his spectacular effort and struggle to serve Hashem and to break all of his Midos Rois and Tivus Rois and to get to a level where he's worthy of having this knowledge and being able to teach it to us. Ach tzrichen levakshoi ulechapsoi mo'oid mo'oid. However, a Jew has to search for him and seek him out a lot. It's not easy at all to get to this tzaddik, and once a person get, even if they think they got to this tzaddik, that the tzaddik should open up these wells of knowledge to him and open up his eyes to be able to see all of this and understand this, is not easy at all. Utzrichen levalois yomim v'shonim levakshoi lechapsoi mo'oid. A person has to be prepared to spend days and years in this search, so that he'll be zeichet to the true cure for his nefesh, and be zeichet to get to this madrega called hasogas elokus, get to recognize and understand Hashem. Rav Nosson Zal says, v'zehu, this is what the pasuk in Hoshea is referring to when it says, achar yoshuvu bnei Yisrael, after the Jews will do tshuva, ubikshu es Hashem alekehem, and they will seek out Hashem, ve'es David Malkom, and they will seek out their king David HaMelech, upochadu el Hashem ve'el tuvoi, and they will feel awe and fear for Hashem and for Hashem's goodness. Tono mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the Gemara says about this, they said over in the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal, begimel dvorim mo'asu b'nei Yisrael. There were three important items that the Jews had rejected in a bad way. The Malchus Shamayim, the first is the kingdom of Hashem, the second is Malchus Beis David, and the third is the Beis Hamikdash. These are the three things they rejected. Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Menasyos, or Rabbi Shimon ben Menasyos said about this, we just had this Tana Rabbi Shimon Menasyos in today's Gemara in Sanhedrin, if you remember. Ein Marin Simen Toiv Yisrael, Hashem will not show the Jews any favorable signs ad sheyachzuru v'yevakshu shloshtam, until they will go seek the three things that they rejected before, which are Hashem, David HaMelech, and the Torah. Ayin shom lepirush Rashi. Take a look over there in Hoshea Gimel how Rashi explains this. V'alpiyana alpiyat Torah nal mevur heitev. Rav Moshe Zal says, based on the chapter in Likutei Moran that we've been discussing in this halacha, you'll understand this whole thing well. Ki kol elu gimel dvorim echod, because all three of these items are really one. Utluyim zebozeh, and they're dependent on one another. Ki mevoy leil, we learned earlier, shehasodes elokus yevshul iskoyis kimaideat tzadik o'emes, that it's impossible for a yid to be zeichet to an understanding of Hashem without the tzadik emes. And we learned over there that a Jew who is zeichet to seichel, it's not enough. He has to nurture that seichel and nourish it with the oyer haponim of Hashem, which comes from the Beis Hamikdash on holidays. On the three Yom Tovim, there's a light that shines from Hashem's face, kaviyochol, which is what draws life, which is what recharges the person's brain. V'zehu b'chinas gimel dvorim anal. These are the three things that Rashi, that the Gemara is referring to. Malchus Shamayim, haynu lahakir oisa yizboach. The term Malchus Shamayim, to accept the kingdom of Hashem, means to acknowledge Hashem, to understand Hashem, to come to recognize Hashem. B'chinas hasogas elokus. And the only way that a person can get to Hasogas Elokus, which is Malchus Shamayim, is by starting with the Tzimtzumim, with the Chochma Tator, which was called Malchus Beis David. Shehu Moshiach, which is represented by Moshiach, Shehu Bechinas HaTzadikei Emes V'Kanal, which represents the true Tzadikim who have the ability to take Hasogas Elokus and package it in Chochmat HaTorah, in Malchus. V'zeh b'chinas ha-beis ha-mikdosh. Ki mishom mechayin es ha-malchus, Chochmat HaTorah now. Because it's from the beis ha-mikdosh that we draw the energy to charge up the Malchus, the Chochmat HaTorah. Sh'aydei zeh zoichem ha-sogus ha-lukus. V'zeh sh'diktek ha-kosuv. This is why the Pasuk says precisely, Achar Yeshuvo b'nei Yisrael. After the Yidden will do tshuva, ubikshu es Hashem, there's David Malkom, and they will seek out Hashem and their king David HaMelech. Ubikshu daiko. Note the word that it says, they will seek out. Kitzrichim levakesh ulechapes velidroi shachazeh mo'i. Because this is not an easy, this is not on the streets. This is something you have to search for very hard. To find this, Lizkois Limsa Yoses Bor, to be Zerchet, to find Hashem. Vizeh Alidei Shivakesh Vichapes Achar Hatzadike Emes, Shein Bechinas Malchus Bezdovu. And the way that you find it is by seeking out the true Tzadikim who represent Malchus Bezdovu. Because it said here, Ubikshu es Hashem Vez David Malkom, that the two are dependent on each other. Interestingly, that the Baal Shem Tov, it's known, had a Yichus chart that showed that he dates back to David HaMelech. Which means that Baal Shem Tov and all of his descendants are actually descendants of King David. This is a well-known item. And this is why the Baal Shem Tov's birthday or Yortzeit, I'm not sure which one it is on Shavuos, which is the same as David HaMelech's. David HaMelech's Yortzeit is Shavuos. That's one of the reasons why we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos. V'zeh shemuva b'kavona sa-sfira. This is why it's brought in the writings of the Arizal on Sfira. She'oz mamshichim ha-zayin chasodim b'zayin shavuos. That during these 7 weeks of the Omer, a Jew has the ability to draw 7 measures of chesed. Ki minchas kenois shehu ha-omer so'irim hu b'chinas toichocha. Because we learned earlier that the korban oimer was brought from barley, just as the korban which a woman brings who has been charged with suspicion of adultery, she also brings a mincha from barley. And we say that these two are the same. That just like her mincha is a form of reprimand to her, it's a reprimand that she's being reprimanded for the fact that she allowed herself to get into such a situation where she suspected this, so too we, the Yidden, the korban oimer that we're bringing, is also a form of reprimand, and we learned earlier that it's this reprimand that leads to chesed, that es asher yehav Hashem yochiach. When Hashem reprimands, it's coming from a place of kindness and love. Shaydezeh mizgale chesed, shaydezeh koitzron es ha-malchus. And we learned earlier that it's this chesed that's used to slice away the malchus from the klipos, from the tumah and everything. V'alkein mamshichin ozes hachasodim. This is why these 7 weeks, right after we brought that korban oimer, which is the teichocha, which generated chesed, we have the ability during these 7 weeks to draw these 7 measures of chesed. V'zeu v'chinas shivo shavuos tisparloch mehochel chermesh bakoma tochel lispor shivo shavuos. This is why the Pasuk says at the end of Re'eh, you will count for yourselves 7 weeks from the time that you start harvesting the stalks that have started, you know, grown ready to harvest, and you will, and at the completion of those 7 weeks, you will celebrate the holiday of Shavuos when you will bring the offering which you give. Hainu shesoifrim sheva shabosois mehochel chermesh bakoma. We count these 7 weeks from the time that you start harvesting the Torah, from the time that you start that slicing, remember? Shemaschilim liktzer, shubachinas vikitzru lefi chesed. Rabbein Zal in Likutei Moharan in this chapter quotes the pasuk that this slicing is done through chesed. That's what gives you the ability to slice and sever. Ubechol hazayin shabosois mamshich ma'ideze hazayin chasodim. And during each one of these 7 shavuos, not shabosois, during each one of these 7 weeks, you draw upon yourself 7 measures of chesed, the Arizal says. Shaydeze zoichen b'shavuos la'asogas l'kuskanal. which once you've drawn that, that chesed has given you the ability to sever the malchus from the klipos and to elevate it to the chochma ilah, you know, to hasogas alakus. That's how your zechon shavu is to receive hasogas alakus. V'zehu v'yosiso chag shavuos misas nidvas yodcha. You will celebrate Shavuos, which is a time when you will donate. Zeh b'chinas tzedaka v'chesed. Again, emphasizing this issue of charity and kindness. Hainu, kifi misas nidvas yodcha, based on the degree of chesed that you've done, based on the charity and the donations that you've done, hainu kifi goydel ha-chesed, shehimshachta latzmecha b'shiva Shavuos, relative to the amount of chesed that you've been able to draw upon yourself during these 7 weeks, kein tizkeh l'chag ha-Shavuos. That's what will determine how good a Shavuos you have. Shehu Hasagas Lakus, which is the day when Hashem blasts the Hasagas Lakus at you. And if you had enough chesed during these 7 weeks, then you had the ability to slice away the malchus from the klipos, and the malchus is the tzimtzumim, the kalim, which is ready to receive those Hasagas Lakus, you know, in a constructive way. Ki ikra Hasagas Lakus, so yidei b'chinas ha-tzimtzumim ana, shein b'chinas chochmatato, she'ikra tikunam al yidei chesed. Whereby the main tikkun for the malchus, for the chokhmat haTorah, is dependent on that chesed. Because we had learned, you recall, that when the malchus, the chokhmat haTorah, falls into the hands of the tumah, amolek and everything, you have to be able to sever it from them and bring it up. And the thing that slices, there's a pasuk that says, v'kitzru lefi chesed. That chesed is what gives you the ability to slice. Rabbi Elazar said, one of the best forms of chesed is being reprimanded by a true tzaddik. Because when a tzaddik reprimands, even if it's an insulting way, he's giving you chesed. Because there's a pasuk that says, the one whom Hashem loves, he reprimands. Which means, reprimand is a blast of love. It's a blast of chesed. The question was asked, it's true that in order for teichocha to be effective, the person that you're giving it to has to feel that it's coming from a place of love. And it does. That's the gift that tzaddikim have. A tzaddik has the ability, the knowledge, and the gift to be able to make the person he's reprimanding feel embarrassed and insulted, but not in a bit. He doesn't leave him with that alone. He pours on enough ahava that the ahava overshadows and bandages the pain. The pain is necessary. It's part of healing a person that's ill. There's got to be an operation. There's no way, there's no shortcuts. There's got to be an operation. And an operation hurts. But if you have the right anesthesiologist, and if you have the right surgeon, then it's done right. Rabbi Nizal explained in that chapter in the Likutei Moharan that we have to understand that tzaddikim take a lot of pain from us. Because when our tefillos get sent to them, and our tefillos have so much junk in it, and it causes bilbul hamoyach for the tzaddik, it messes him up. And sometimes it makes it almost impossible for him not to want to bite back a little bit. See, in that tone, the Kutaman Rabbeinu explains it.